With regards to the meditation, in ruminating this week over what message to bring on this Palm Sunday, I haven't been able to shake the feeling that there's more to be said about the raising of Lazarus that we looked at last week. And yes, Palm Sunday is the time of the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and it's probably most often approached as a bit of a foretaste of the jubilation of the resurrection 1 week later. There's a certain upbeat feel to this event, and the children's pageant usually are replete with smiling faces, bouncy music, and the high energy associated with the parade. No social distancing here, only crowds packing the street and folks climbing over each other to get a view of this king on a donkey. There's a buzz in the air, but it's also only a few days away from the crucifixion, and I think we have plenty of hints in the Gospels that knowledge is weighing heavily on Jesus during this last week of his human life. In John's Gospel, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem actually happens right on the heels of the story of the raising of Lazarus. And to address Palm Sunday in the context of this pandemic, I'd like to revisit that event, that raising of Lazarus, and draw on some of the thoughts that I used in one of my meditations 6 years ago. And I suggested then that there were some things about the raising of Lazarus that might reasonably disturb anyone of a compassionate nature. And I mentioned it last week, for example, that instead of racing to be with people we're told that he loves, he lingers for 2 more days before going to Bethany. He clearly expects to find Lazarus dead, and yet he does nothing to prevent it. And on a human level, there seems to be a callous cruelty in Jesus' decision not to go to Bethany as soon as he hears that Lazarus is ill. He must know the grief and suffering that Mary and Martha will experience as they watch Lazarus breathing his last. They've called out for his help, and he's responded with something that approximates a yawn. And what about Lazarus? Yes, he will be raised from the dead, but he will die. He'll close his eyes and hand over his spirit. And I ask myself, what kind of twisted sense of drama would be needed to manipulate the people that Jesus loves in this way? And I'm very troubled by that kind of an image of Jesus casually standing by as the people he loves are in absolute agony. And it can seem like a harsh and an unfeeling way of making a point. And I suppose that if the story ended with something along the lines of, and Jesus arrived in Bethany, gathered a crowd in front of the tomb, and called Lazarus forth, astounding all who were present, I might have reason to be troubled and even angry. If this were presented as a spectacle meant to give Jesus a chance to strut about and dazzle the masses, trivializing pain and grief in the face of death, I might find it deeply offensive. But it's not presented like that. Jesus doesn't stroll into Bethany and wave a magic wand in front of an audience. We're told that he wept. We're told that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, twice. We're presented with an event that clearly touches Jesus deeply, however cavalier his behavior may seem to be up to this point. And I wonder, is there a hint of regret here, a pang of conscience regarding the impact of his delay in coming? But there is an overarching element to this story that allows me to read it with hope and that provides me with something to chew on as I struggle to lead a faithful life. And that, for me, is that from my perspective at least, the story addresses death and mortality in a way that not even the Easter resurrection does. At Easter, Jesus rises and breaks the power of death, yes, but in this event, this raising of Lazarus, you can almost get the feeling that Jesus realizes that his own resurrection may seem a little bit abstract for most of us. Yes, the Son of God has power over death, but the rest of us all die all the same. Yes, we're promised eternal life, but we are still largely defined here and now by our mortality. For all of us, without exception, there's a threshold that needs to be crossed. And death looms large in spite of Easter. And death looms large in this story of Lazarus. And in fact, I might even argue that Lazarus' death may not be at the center of this story. but certainly death is, death with a capital D. I think there's clearly an increasing sense of tension around Jesus' ministry in the lead up to this event with Lazarus. He's in danger by going back to Judea. And for some time now, the religious leaders in the area have been increasingly antagonistic toward Jesus and towards his ministry. And in the previous chapter in John's Gospel, they've tried to stone him. The disciples have every expectation that things will go terribly wrong if they go to Bethany. Death, or the threat of it, is everywhere. And Thomas makes that patently clear in his encouragement to the other disciples in verse 16, "Let's also go that we may die with him." He seems convinced that this is it. This will be the end. And I know that Thomas gets a bit of a hard time as the doubting Thomas of chapter 20 in John's Gospel, when he insists that he won't believe that Jesus has risen until he can put his hand in his side and put his finger on the mark of the nails. But I think, as I've said before, that this declaration of his is maybe the most poignant expression of love and faithfulness that we get from any of the disciples at any time during Jesus' ministry. And this is the one element that inspires me in this story. Let us also go that we may die with him. I like this man. And this is the piece that pulls me into the story. Let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas, along with the others, is convinced that Jesus is walking into the jaws of death. He's convinced that this man that they have been following, this Messiah, is about to end his life. There's no hint here that he expects this end to be glorious, to be triumphant, to be the moment that ushers in a new age for Israel. There's a level of trepidation here, alongside a calm conviction that if Jesus is going to die, well then, he'll be there when it happens and he will share in that end. One of the commentators that I read in preparing the meditation says this about Thomas. The character of Thomas comes out clearly in the fourth gospel. Thomas always looks at the dark side of things and is a pessimist by disposition, while entirely loyal to his convictions and ready to act on them at all costs. Here Thomas foresaw only too clearly that Jesus was going to his death, and he realized that to enter Judea as his disciple was to risk the same fate. But Jesus was his master, and he would not draw back when he found that Jesus was resolved to go back to Judea. Now, I should mention that that particular commentator was an Irish archbishop, and that the commentary was published by T.N.T. Clark, based in Edinburgh, Scotland. So maybe it shouldn't come as any surprise that a dour pessimist who always looks at the dark side of things comes off as a bit of a hero for these guys. But I think it is a fair portrayal of Thomas, a man who sees the writing on the wall, takes a deep breath, and resolves to carry things through to the end. Now, let me say that I frankly don't think the disciples ever truly looked at Jesus the way that we look at Jesus, and certainly not before his resurrection. I don't think any of them ever truly understood fully who Jesus was. And I doubt very much that Thomas thought of Jesus as anything more than a prophet or a Messiah who would turn things around for Israel. And when he says, "Let us also go that we may die with him," I don't think it's a defiant challenge to the authorities. It feels much more like a quiet acceptance that the mission has failed. The authorities will finally win, and he's prepared to share Jesus' fate. Jesus' death, and their death with him, will be the final curtain on a beautiful 3-year surge of hope. And yet, even apparently in the face of failure and destruction, there's something about Jesus and his message that compels Thomas and the others who accompanied him. Even if they haven't fully understood what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God, or the Son of Man, or any of his other cryptic "I am this" or "I am that" statements, there's still something about Jesus that pulls them along. Even if death is the ultimate end of all of this, they're willing to go. And I'm left wondering when Jesus in verse 15 says, "I'm glad that I wasn't there to prevent Lazarus' death, so that you may believe." And I ask myself, believe what? Certainly in part to believe that he's the one who has been sent by God. Certainly in part to believe that life is possible through him. But I wonder, when he hears Thomas' resigned acceptance of death as the final failure, when he sees the anguished tears of those who grieve for Lazarus and were told that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and when he hears the comments of some asking, couldn't he have kept this man from dying, and were told again that he was deeply moved? I wonder if it isn't possible that when we're told in verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, that his own tears aren't just for Lazarus, but for the hold that death has on humanity, for the fear that it instills in so many of us, for the hold that it has even on these Jewish followers who already believe that Lazarus will be resurrected at the end of time. Is it possible that this miracle isn't intended to demonstrate Jesus' power so much as to demonstrate that we are not ultimately defined by our mortality, that we are mortal, yes, but that we are much more than that? Is it possible that raising Lazarus is Jesus' way of showing Thomas and the rest of us that following him is not a path to death, that the things we're called to be and to do set us firmly on a path of life, that even if death is inevitably present for all of us at the end, that death is not, as I've said elsewhere, the final word on the matter? So on this Palm Sunday, in a time of pandemic, as we mark the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, as we enter with him into a time of uncertain outcomes and the looming threat of loss and heartache, as we deal with our own fears and concerns for those we love, and as we adjust to what may be a new normal for the foreseeable future, let's continue to reach out to each other, and let's continue together to try to catch sight of this King on a donkey as he leads the way for us. Thank you.